All right, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us for hour number two today on a Thursday of Christian Worldview with Tony and Austin. Austin's away today. This is Tony Beam. I'm the Director of Church and Community Engagement for the Tim Brazier Campus of North Greenville University, where Christ makes the difference and where we are equipping transformational leaders for the church and society. We also are doing a lot of other good stuff there, like Lisa Van Roper and I do public affairs. She's going to be on the show next week, by the way, while I'm on vacation. Spent about an hour with Austin one day. I'm also the director of public policy for the South Carolina Baptist Convention. All right. Austin is away, but he does have his phone, so he's going to join us here. This is a famous question writer for John Stone Street, Austin Barker.
Oh, I wasn't going to say anything about that, but thank you. I'm pretty pumped about that. I've been trying to get in front of their faces and eyes, and they're so far up the food chain from me that the fact that they read my question on their podcast, took a whole podcast episode.
Yeah.
And at least it verifies or ratifies your choice to have me on and ask questions, because that's apparently what I'm good at.
Absolutely. I mean, you've become as much an aggravation to them as you are to me every day, and I'm just very thankful that's getting spread around.
Boy, this feels so interesting, Tony, to be on the phone listening to you. It's just, you know, I mean, you get in a routine, and I've been doing the radio for over a year.
Yep.
And so it just becomes, you know, when I hear that when I hear that music, I automatically grab for my earmuffs and pull the microphone toward me, and instead, yep, you know, just being on the radio and listening, it's like old times. It's like going back 10 years in time. I feel like the time
warp. Don't get used to it, because you need to be in here with me where you belong. So anyway,
I wanted to clarify one thing, yeah, and that I said on yesterday's show, and it's important to me to say the right things. And there's several ways to be wrong, and one of them is just to, you know, have inadequate information, which is the case here. Sometimes it's just a matter of misunderstanding an issue, but I don't like being wrong, because I want people to take me seriously, and so I try and correct it, as you do when I am wrong. So importantly, I think Neil Collins actually does, here in my House district in Pickens County, Neil Collins does have a primary challenger by the name of Clay Hamlet. I'm learning more about him, and I'm sure that we can set up some time to have both of those gentlemen on the show to let you hear about their viewpoints on important issues. But I did say yesterday that he was running unopposed, and he is not. Clay Hamlet is a young man. Again, not knowing enough about him yet, I'd like to find out more about him before I, you know who to support myself, and I wouldn't say that on the radio. But anyway, I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, I appreciate you doing that. I was able to dig into that a little bit yesterday while I was down in the State House. He is a candidate. He's not, apparently not doing a lot, shall we say. I mean, and that's obvious, because I couldn't find a website. I couldn't find a Facebook page. Now, that's not, I'm not being critical. I'm just saying that if you want to find him and find information about him, it might be a challenge. Did you find anything about being able to connect with him?
He does have an Instagram page. I did check that out. I have seen a sign here or there with his name on it.
Okay.
But just didn't know that was particular to this House race. So it's just not really abundantly clear. He hasn't really made his presence felt in the race, apparently.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks, Austin. I appreciate you clarifying that, because I'm with you. I want us to be sure that what we say here is good. Have a good day today, and I'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Take care.
Yep. You too. Reggie's on the phone. Wants to talk about abortion. Go ahead, Reggie.
Good morning, Tony, but one thing I want to correct you on is when you're introducing yourself, you are the awesome interim pastor of Impact Community Church. Don't ever forget that.
Well,
and I don't want to pile on this morning to your, I just admit it, it's just heartbreaking about abortion. But if you go to the Federalist, there is an article that says why today's left is willing to admit abortion kills a child and they still support it.
Yeah.
A subtitle to that, I think, really just nails it. If self-gratification is our highest good, then any act up to including murder of a child becomes good if it's done in that pursuit. It's a great article.
Right. Yeah.
That just kind of frames everything. And I just, you know, like I said, it's heartbreaking. But there's a part of me, too, that knows that that this doesn't surprise the Lord that we serve. And so he will, even in this, if he can bring good out of his own death, he'll bring good out of this.
Well, I appreciate that, Reggie. That's a great thought, and I appreciate you referencing that article, because we do need to understand what we're dealing with here. You know, for so long, Reggie, what we heard from the Democrat Party was safe, legal, and rare. That was the, you know, that abortion is a terrible thing. It's a tragedy. It's the taking of a human life. But we should allow it because women need to have bodily autonomous control over their bodies, completely ignoring the fact that you've got a third person that's life's being sacrificed for bodily autonomy. Nobody's really talking about the bodily autonomy of an unborn baby. So, you know, that, and now we've gotten from that all the way to the celebration of abortion by progressives. They actually, you have women who shout their abortions. You have women who, you know, brag about them. And the Democrat Party has become not just the home of the where people would go if they want to see abortion rights expanded, but it's the home of where people go who want to see abortion up to the point that a baby's in the birth canal. I mean, it is a radical thing that Americans do not support. I've got another story I'm going to get to here, Reggie, in just a few minutes. It's called "The Poll: Abortion Polls Are Garbage." It's from National Review, and they are garbage because Jen Psaki and the White House, President Biden, keeps throwing this 63% number out, and they don't talk about that. That don't want to see Roe versus Wade overturned, and they don't talk about the internal numbers that show that the vast majority of Americans want strict limits on abortion that Democrats won't even ponder. So it's disheartening when you put all that together. Reggie, thanks for the call. Gene, you're next.
Yes, 2 points. Very right. I don't know if you talk about the progressives celebrating abortion. I'm sure you may have recalled the celebration they had in New York when, under Cuomo, when they passed their revised abortion law, pro-abortion law. In fact, they had the Freedom Tower was lit up in the color pink that evening. And when the legislature passed it, there were rousing cheers of glee over this, and it's really sad to hear that. Now, I moved down here from Connecticut, and when I was up there, one of the things that I noticed was that a lot of pastors up there would not touch the abortion topic at all. I, however, belong to a congregation that supported crisis pregnancy centers, and it was not a popular position among Christians, even up in Connecticut. So I don't know how that situation is down here in South Carolina. If it's sort of, if there are county by county differences, but I sort of suspect that up here, many pastors might be pro-life, whereas if you go toward the Myrtle Beach, Charleston area, many of them might not even want to address the abortion topic.
Yeah, well, no, I know. I appreciate the call, Gene. You're right. A lot of our pulpits have become silent, or at least muted. Let's put it that way. I think it's probably unfair to say silent, but it's certainly fair to say that they've become muted when it comes to speaking to moral issues. And I don't understand that. I have to be the first to tell you, I know I'm an older guy, and maybe my thinking has become passé in the 21st century, but I don't see how that's possible when we have a responsibility. If we're called to preach and teach the Word of God, we have to stand firm on what God's Word teaches when it comes to morality. And just because something is designated as a political idea, which, by the way, is a way that people who want to subvert that moral principle, they designate it as a political idea, and then they chastise people who have moral authority based on the Word of God from standing up and saying anything about it. And they try to intimidate people into silence. And if you succeed in that, you lose the voice of reason, the voice of biblical truth in the culture. And that's a very bad thing. Is abortion the taking of a human life? Yes. Should we do away with it? Should it be done in America? Yes. Am I happy that Roe versus Wade is going to be overturned likely? I'm ecstatic, because at least in some places, life will be protected. Human beings' lives will be preserved when Roe versus Wade and Casey versus Planned Parenthood is gone, if that in fact happens. And a lot of states will greatly restrict abortion at the least, and at the most, they will make abortion illegal. South Carolina should be one of those states. We should, and I was gratified to hear that sine die, which is you have to have a sine die resolution, which the House concurred with the Senate sine die resolution yesterday. And there's two things that the legislature basically can take up when they come back to Columbia: the budget and abortion. And what they'll take up on abortion is a trigger law that would go into effect that when the announcement comes that Roe versus Wade and Casey versus Planned Parenthood have been overturned by the Supreme Court, if that's in fact what happens, then South Carolina will become a state that doesn't simply go back to a six-week ban like the heartbeat bill, which I 100% supported, but it will revert back to no abortions in South Carolina. Because I think it's critical that we for years, what have we said? We've said, well, we would protect life in the womb, but we've got to do it step by step, because Roe versus Wade, the law is the law of the land, and these laws that we pass that get suspended or overturned or ruled unconstitutional, don't end up doing anything to protect a baby's life. So we switched tactics and began to put pressure on the court by raising the issue of viability. And now we've got five justices on the verge of overturning Roe versus Wade. Now we can't come back and say, we didn't really mean that we want to protect all life. Yes, we did. Yes, I did. I meant that from day one. And in South Carolina, we should protect life from the moment of conception. And I pray that's what we'll do when Roe versus Wade is overturned. I mean, the heartbeat bill is great. It made the point about viability. It caused the Supreme Court, along with other laws that brought into play the question of viability. It encouraged the court to take up that question, and in taking up that question, they looked at Roe and said, Roe, a majority saying at this point Roe is no longer viable. So I'm ecstatic about that, but we can't stop at 6 weeks if we're given the choice in South Carolina about how far we can go to protect life. We need to protect it all. Barbara, thanks for calling.
Oh, gosh. Oh, okay.
Yes. Hello.
Tony, can you hear me okay?
I can. I hear you very well.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to ask your opinion on this comment. With Janet Yellen and her incredibly black humor, if only half of the babies that were aborted grew up, and since Roe versus Wade, grew up and were on working now and paying Social Security, wouldn't that be economically more profitable to the country than killing them and not having them in the workforce?
Of course. Of course. I mean, Tim Scott was absolutely appalled yesterday at Janet Yellen's comments. And I think everybody who understands economics, I mean, this is the woman who's holding the reins of our economy, and she doesn't understand the basic math that millions of aborted babies means millions of American workers who never got a paycheck, who never invested in the economy, who never contributed to Social Security, the list goes on and on and on and on of how American economic policy could have been transformed if there were 65 to 70 million more Americans walking around.
It's just so blind.
It's
her logic. Oh,
well, and
all right,
Barbara, thanks for calling. You talk about tone deaf. I mean, you're sitting there looking at Senator Tim Scott, who was born in abject poverty, and you begin to make the argument that a black teenage single girl needs to have the ability to have an abortion if she's in poverty so she can escape poverty by going to school. And Tim Scott just looks at her and says, you know, I'm glad my mom didn't make that decision or I wouldn't be here. He's a United States senator, somebody that could be considered for president of the United States. And he would just be non-existent under Janet Yellen's philosophy that is supported 100% by an out-of-touch and progressive Democrat Party. Okay, yesterday, 49 Senate Democrats voted for an extreme abortion bill. And this whole thing was a show vote. That's what it was for. They knew they didn't have the votes to overcome a filibuster. But what they want, they're going to run on this. And God bless them. I mean, I'm serious. If they want to run on an extreme abortion platform and they think that's going to get them votes from the people that they've got to have to win an election, I mean, let's go back to urban, suburban, rural. Urban areas ruled by progressives, rural areas ruled by conservatives, suburban areas up for grabs. And we talked about this the other day when they went into the suburbs of Phoenix in Arizona and they began to ask women who were liberal on a lot of issues how they felt, what was going to motivate them to vote. It was the economy. It was inflation. It was immigration. It was a lot of things that are going wrong in our country right now, and abortion was not on the radar screen. I'm telling you, if this is the campaign that they want to, if they think this is the path to victory, then so be it. Now, I'm going to say something here that will be deemed controversial, but I just want to point out the obvious. When you look at the polling on abortion, what you find is that most Americans want strict, if not an outright ban on abortions in the third trimester. Most Americans want restrictions on second trimester abortions, and most Americans would allow abortion in some form or fashion in the first trimester. So that's where the opinions lie. Now, and I'm not, please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say, because somebody's going to go out and say, well, I heard Tony Beam say this morning that he's in favor of abortion. What you heard me say a few minutes ago was that South Carolina has a responsibility, if we're a pro-life state, to protect all life in the womb as soon as Roe versus Wade and Casey versus Planned Parenthood goes into the dustbin of history, which is where it belongs. But here's the thing. If the Democrats really wanted to make hay out of this, they would come out and go back to their Bill Clinton days and say that abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. They would go back and they would say, okay, here's what Democrats stand for. We agree that abortion in the third trimester is abhorrent. So we're going to make sure that if when a baby gets to the third trimester, it's going to make it to life. We agree that, I mean, basically they would take the poll and they would take the position, if they really wanted to use this issue as a wedge issue for voters, they would understand where the public is and go there. But they can't, because they're crazy, left-wing, immoral, progressive, ultra-progressive base won't allow it. I mean, abortion is a religious right. It's a sacrificial right. You've got to be able to kill a baby anytime, anywhere, for any reason, period. And that's what this bill yesterday was all about. Listen to this from Suzanne Bowdy over at Daily Signal. When Democrats decided to put the most extreme abortion bill ever drafted on the Senate floor, it showed people plenty. If anyone was under the illusion that President Joe Biden's party was remotely reasonable on the issue of life, they learned pretty quickly that those days are over. Today's Democrats don't want to keep Roe versus Wade. They want to go beyond Roe, to federal tyranny and coercion, to unlimited taxpayer-funded abortion right up until the moment of birth, and this vote proves it. When Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat New York, said the vote will shine a light on every single one of us, he was right. And you know what? It's a nasty thing when you turn the light on in the darkness. Because you know what light does? It reveals the darkness. It shows where the darkness is. And the darkness right now is in the death culture that rules and reigns in the Democrat Party. For the second time in 4 months, the American people got a real look at the Democrat Party's extremism on Wednesday, and what they saw should terrify them. All but one of their senators, Joe Manchin, voted to burn the pro-life culture in America to the ground. This wasn't about making Roe permanent law, like Democrats want voters to believe. This was about crushing state laws, partial birth abortion bans, safety regulations, abortion limits, conscience rights, parents' rights, faith-based hospitals. I mean, everything was on the table. This was the most restrictive and scorched earth bill ever when it comes to codifying the death culture that reigns in the abortion world today. And that world is the Democrat Party. It's not about safe, reasonable, rare. It's about killing babies is a woman's right, and she ought to go out and exercise it. That's where the Democrat Party is. Use abortion for birth control. Use abortion for sex selection. Use abortion to abort babies that maybe would have a birth defect of some kind, that a person shouldn't be born unless they're perfect. I mean, that's all wrapped up in what happened yesterday. And Chuck Schumer made sure that every Democrat except for Joe Manchin voted for it. You know Bob Casey didn't want to vote for that bill. He's in a swing state. He's in a tough election. But they got pounded. I guarantee the Democrats got pounded. They came and said, look, this is our strategy. I know you may not agree with this, but you better vote. Because we're using this as a wedge issue. Well, if they think radical policies when it comes to abortion is going to get them ground in a midterm election, more power to them. Go for it. Because that is not where the American people are. And Todd is on the phone. Go ahead, Todd.
Good morning, Tony. How are you this morning?
Hey, I'm doing okay. How are you?
Good. I was just calling to make a comment. What would be the best way to reach out to like the community and take a stand for life and take a stand against some of these issues? What would be the best way, as a Christian to just make a difference?
Wow. I appreciate that question a lot, Todd. I think first of all, every believer should be, and thanks for the call, by the way. I think every believer should be aware of the issues. I'm stunned from day to day when I run into people who genuinely don't know a lot of what's going on. I'll begin to talk about a subject, something that's happening in the news that is critical, that is a moral issue of great importance. And I get a blank stare, and I'm like, oh, you didn't know about this? Well, no, and so then I begin to explain what the issue is. Now, that's not everybody. I'm not trying to suggest that there aren't people who are plugged in, but I'm just saying that there are a lot of people who are not. So first of all, as a Christian, you should know what's going on. And then you should take the issues that are huge moral questions about gender, sexuality, life, the way we treat each other, justice when it comes to justice for everybody under the law equally. And you should understand what the Bible has to say about those things. Make yourself aware of what God's word says. And then talk to your neighbors, talk to your coworkers, become an advocate. Do it in a way that honors Christ. Don't be a bull in a china shop, but be someone who has deep convictions and is able to communicate those in a winsome way. Winsome, missional, and biblical. I keep coming back to those three terms. Now, I think biblical should be first, so let's just reverse it. Biblical, missional, and winsome. Because I don't want you to be winsome unless you're being biblical. But You begin with that, and then you make the arguments. Write editorial pieces. Go, send an editorial column. Sit down, put your thoughts together in about 750 words, and send it to the Greenville News or to the state newspaper or, you know, make an argument. Go to your pastor. Be respectful. Say to the pastor, you know, could I start a group in the church? Would you allow me to start a salt and light group, a group of people that keeps up with the stuff that's going on in the news that is has biblical ramifications? And then could I come and be the liaison to you? Could I come and talk to you about those issues so that you're aware? And then can I send out information to the church as a layperson about some of these issues and what's happening? Find conservative, biblically-based programming and websites. I mean, listen to this radio show, Todd. You're already doing that, so thank you. Tell other people about it. If you believe that what we're doing here has meaning and value and purpose and that I'm doing what I'm encouraging you to do and that Austin's here with me doing it every day, then tell people about it and get the word out about this show. Because, and other shows like it, John Stone Street, you know, Ben Shapiro. Now, Ben Shapiro's coming from he's an Orthodox Jew, but his worldview is God present. I mean, his thinking and teaching, he's not going to be or talking about the issues, is morally based. It's not going to be biblical in the sense of working off of the teaching of Jesus because he's Jewish. But so you have to mitigate that. When it comes to, or be aware of it so that you take that into consideration, that's what I mean by mitigation. When it comes to more secular websites, read National Review. Subscribe to National Review. They're begging for subscribers right now, which makes me nervous. That makes me think that they're, you know, having trouble, and they're a conservative think tank. I mean, they write great stuff. Now, I don't agree with everything. But a lot of the people that I don't agree with have left National Review and have migrated over to the Dispatch, which is, you know, David French. And I've told you my issues with David French. But there's a lot of good information there. So what I'm saying is bathe yourself in God's Word first. Then find people who are dedicated to sharing the truth based on the Word of God and read them and listen to them widely. Tim Keller is a good person. And I disagree with Tim Keller's recent views when he's talking about abortion, because he's talking about that Christians shouldn't be as... you know, that abortion's become a political issue and we don't need to be divided over it, you know, and he compares it, you know, he said, we're not going out advocating for laws that would put people in jail for idolatry. So what is it that we're doing that we're out advocating for laws that are a moral issue like abortion that we want everybody to follow our dictate? Well, here's the thing. Life is bigger. And the value of life is bigger than Christianity. Christianity is certainly foundational in its support of life because we believe that life is created in the image of God. But you don't have to believe any of that to just get the idea that life should be protected, and certainly innocent life, and certainly in the womb, that should be the safest place in the world for a baby. And so when Keller says, you know, well, we don't want to go out and advocate. Yeah, I'm not advocating that people be locked up if they're idolaters. Of course not. That is a personal belief that as a believer, it's only going to affect me as a believer. But abortion? We're talking about the taking of an innocent life that transcends what I believe as a Christian. What I believe as a Christian is rooted in or abortion, the right to life is rooted in that, but it's more than that. So I just don't. But having said all that, as a caveat, I'm going to talk a little bit more about Keller's comments, because Tim Keller, his book, The Reason for God, is one of the best apologetics books. It talks about how Christians can share their faith and make a difference by being aware of the issues theologically, and morally and sharing them in a winsome way. It has had a profound impact on the way I do things. But, you know, I mean, I think he's wrong about this. I mean, people can get I think he's demonstrably wrong. I'm shocked, quite frankly, that he's come to some of the conclusions he has. But that doesn't mean I'm going to walk away from him, because he's brilliant. And I believe he loves God and is teaching God's truth as best he can. I mean, it's like the rest of us. So anyway, I apologize. I have a tendency to chase rabbits here in the middle. But we're talking about how do Christians support, be aware of our political leaders. Know what they believe and get behind them. Support people who are, who believe that there's a moral evil in the world and that it has to be checked and curtailed in a society where we live together, because if it's not, then we have chaos and we have the falling apart of a society. And so, you know, and support those people. I'm telling you, and people are going to say, well, you're only talking about John McCravey because John McCravey sponsors your show. I don't get anything from that. I get nothing from it. But I tell you what I get from a friendship with John McCravey, and what we get as South Carolinians from the fact that Representative McCravey is constantly vigilant in the House of Representatives, leading the Family Caucus on these biblical issues. And people like Representative Bill Chumley and Representative Mike Burns and Representative Stephen Long and Representative Josiah Magnuson. And there's a whole lot of good people down in Columbia. And McCravey, John McCravey is just, I mean, he's capable, he's passionate, and he's driven by a biblical worldview. Wow. If we had everybody in Columbia fitting that description, I mean, it would be amazing. Now, we've had an incredible year legislatively. We need to acknowledge that. I mean, Save Women's Sports, Religion is Essential, Medical Rights of Conscience, the fact that they're going to come back and talk about the banning of abortion in South Carolina because of the Roe v. Wade and Casey v. Planned Parenthood decisions being overturned, and school choice, tax cuts. I mean, if you want to expand out of purely the moral issues and more into the societal cultural issues that have a moral foundation but are not directly related morally, then you get into school choice and you get into tax cuts and you get into the things that will create a better environment and a better South Carolina. There's a lot of other things that I could, I mean, I've got to, in my mind, go through all this stuff because I'm about to write an article for the Baptist Courier about it and send out a newsletter to the Baptist Network. So, in any event, Todd, I hope I've taken 15 minutes here to answer your question. Being grounded in God's Word has got to be the first thing for any believer. Being knowledgeable about what's going on in the world, being willing to apply the Word of God to what's going on in the world, and advocating for that in every area of your life. That's what we do. It's how we, and be a witness. On top of that, be a witness for the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. Because a lot of people are never going to accept our premises until their heart and life is changed by confessing their sin and having Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's the ultimate change. Listen, when I was in college, I would have told you I was a believer, but I embraced pretty much every left-leaning thing that was out there that was available when I was a college student. When I got saved in 1984, graduated from college in 1980, I mean, I was born again. I was changed by Christ and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in my life in 1984. And my perspective, my thinking about life in general began, it happened immediately. Now, it's in one sense, it was immediate. In another sense, it was a process that I'm still going through, the process of sanctification. So, anyway, I love this by David Harsanyi. I mean, sometimes you just have to say it straight. You know, abortion polls are garbage. That's the title. Subtitle, media outlets do everything they can to obfuscate the issue and protect Democrats. It's obvious in the questions that they ask. So I'm reading from this article. If you want to see it, it's posted at National Review today. I don't know if it's behind the paywall or if it's free, but you can go take a look. With the leak of a Supreme Court draft opinion by Samuel Alito overturning Roe v. Wade, the media have gone into hyperdrive trying to obscure the real contours of the debate. One of the most obvious ways they do it is by highlighting politically motivated surveys and conducting push polling. Take Politico's recent morning consult poll, which informs us that 53% of voters say Roe should not be overturned. Even among Republican voters, only 48% support overturning Roe. First of all, who cares? It's a completely irrelevant query, really. The court exists not to care what polls tell them, and really, on what constitutional grounds do these 53% of Americans maintain the decision should be upheld? There's tons of evidence illustrating that, other than in the broadest terms, most Americans have no idea what Roe entails. They don't. Because people tell me, again, when I talk to people, I talk to a lot of people in the course of a day, and I mean, they're like, don't you think this is extreme? I mean, Roe versus Wade is, if it goes, then no woman can get an abortion everywhere. Where did you get that? Do you understand states' rights? Do you understand federalism? Do you understand that South Carolina may ban abortions? North Carolina may have an abortion retreat or resort area. Now, I don't think North Carolina is going to do that, but California is going to do it. New York's going to do it. They're going to turn having an abortion into the greatest event that a woman can have, because that's how dedicated progressives are to the killing of babies, because that's what it is. If you want to delve into the topic, a far more worthwhile line of inquiry would be, do you believe the issue of abortion should be a protected constitutional right, or should voters be able to decide the issue on a state level? Now, you're never going to find a poll coming from Politico or from the New York Times or from anybody else that's got a left-wing agenda that has a question like that. Because that's properly laying out the question and the reality of choices that voters face. The Morning Consult poll also finds 41% of voters say it's very important for them to vote for a candidate in the 2022 midterms who supports abortion access. Every Republican-led law that's been enacted on the issue of abortion in recent years, including the Mississippi bill that sparked the Dobbs case, provides access to abortion. Maybe some future bill won't, but these do. Do you think those 41% understand that? One that is purposely obscured by the question? I don't. Anyway, why are pollsters posing inexact theoretical questions about abortion when they can ask precise ones that would properly gauge where the public stands on the debate that does exist? Here's some examples. Do you support the Democratic Party's effort to legalize abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy on demand for any reason in all 50 states? That's a legitimate question, because that is what the Democrat Party wants. That's how radical they've become. Do you support the Democrats' efforts to prohibit states from passing laws that forbid abortions after viability? Do you support the Democrats' efforts to prohibit states from passing laws against sex-selective abortions? This bill that they tried to pass yesterday, you could have had an abortion any reason you understand means, that's a girl, I wanted a boy, kill her. Call up the abortion doctor, and then we'll go celebrate the abortion on YouTube. Folks, I'm not being extreme here. I'm telling you what extremism looks like in the Democrat Party. Do you support the Democrats' efforts to overturn existing laws that require parental or guardian notification for minors? Do you agree with Democrats that non-doctors should be given the right to perform abortions through all 9 months of pregnancy? You realize that was in the bill yesterday? You didn't have to be a doc. You don't have to be a doctor to perform an abortion. I better not get one progressive Democrat try to tell me that Democrats care about women. Because if they cared about women, when it comes to abortion, they want to be sure, even if they're 100% in favor, that women are protected and their women's health. They're worried about women's health, but they want just Tom, Dick, John, Schmo to be able to go in there and perform an abortion. You do realize that people die from abortions. It's rare, but it's possible. Do you agree with the Biden administration that more abortions are vital in keeping down the poor population, increasing labor force participation, and helping the economy? That's what Janet Yellen said yesterday. Now, there's some real questions that get at the heart of where the Democrat Party is when it comes to abortion. And I agree. I think that's the way that these polls, if you put those questions out, Americans would be appalled at the question. But no, the media is going to run cover for left-wing, radical, progressive Democrats who are trying to turn this into a wedge issue for the 2022 midterms. We shouldn't allow them to do it. 888-660-9535. Write that number down because you're going to want to use it tomorrow for a backpacking day edition of Christian Worldview with Tony and Austin. Austin will return tomorrow. We're going to have a good time. Talk to Senator Josh Kimbrell about an amazing year in South Carolina legislature.